1. 9th December 1809. Ridgewood Court, Essex, England. A chorus of laughter spilled from the drawing room, the gaiety echoing down the gleaming marble-floored corridor. The jollity neither enticed Everly nor piqued her interest. A hand resting on the banister and her foot poised on the bottom riser, she slanted her head, listening. That did not sound like the small, intimate gathering Theodosia, Duchess of Sutcliffe, had promised for the nearly month-long house party. Only close friends and family had been invited, Thea had assured her, when she cajoled Everly into staying at Ridgewood Court, rather than going home to Fittledale Park each evening. Probably because she knew full well Everly wasn't likely to return every day, if at all. Thea had vowed there wouldn't be a soul who would make Everly feel the least uncomfortable, nor any rapscallions inclined to pursue widowed heiresses almost 24 years of age. Only 11 people had gathered for tea this afternoon. Afterward, the men, the Duke of Sutcliffe, 3 other peers of the realm, all dukes as well, and James Brentwood, Thea's brother, had gone riding. Not Everly's definition of a cosy assembly. 2 or 3 at most fit that description. Nonetheless, the number was sufferable, for a few days at least, especially since the other females included her cousins Ophelia and Gabriella Brekensole, as well as her step-niece, Rain Westbrook, and Theodosia's sister, Jessica. The other women planning to attend the house party would join them for dinner. Who else had arrived while Everly napped the afternoon and early evening away in an attempt to ease the megrim still niggling around her temples? Too much excitement, make that tension caused by her dread of gatherings, inevitably brought a headache on. A dose of powders and a lie down in a darkened chamber with a cool damp cloth across her eyes had reduced this one to a dull annoyance. Still, the minor throbbing provided a perfect excuse to retire early should the need arise. Another burst of laughter erupted, this one mostly masculine chortles. That boisterous din couldn't be merely the 5 men from tea. Precisely how many upper-crust chaps had been invited? The same number as females to balance the dinner table. If so, that likely meant 4 more strutting peacocks. No doubt pampered and privileged gentlemen, with nothing better or more meaningful to do with their time than fritter it away at a house party, or, as experience had taught her, indulge in a dalliance or 2. Or 3, for the party's duration. How many times had she witnessed that very thing during the 2 miserable years she'd been wife to Arnold Chatterton? How many times had her depraved husband carried on with 1 shameless gill flirt or another, whilst Everly barricaded herself in her bedchamber to escape the vile intentions of the other debauchees in attendance? A shiver juddered across her shoulders, and she firmed her mouth and gave a little shake of her head. Chatterton was dead. He had been for almost 2 years. He couldn't hurt her any more. Neither could his son. In any event, Theodosia, the daughter of a reverend, wouldn't tolerate those sorts of shenanigans beneath her roof. But how was Thea to know who prowled about in the middle of the night, or what fiend might waylay and force themselves on an unsuspecting lady? Would all the guests remain until Christmastide? Boxing Day? 12th night? If so, Everly assuredly would not. She enjoyed her solitude too much, hence her turreted bedchamber at Ridgewood, specifically selected for its privacy and isolation from the rest of the guests. Only 2 other bedchambers and the nursery lay in that wing, all blessedly unoccupied. At least they had been when she'd made her way to her room this afternoon. She'd heard nothing on her way down to dinner to suggest otherwise. Descending the last stair, she wrapped her lace shawl closer around her shoulders and weighed her options. She could return to her chamber and request a carriage to take her home. She didn't much care that doing so would certainly advance her reputation for icy aloofness. But it would also hurt Theodosia's feelings, and that Everly did care about. A great deal, truth to tell. Theodosia was one of the few people who hadn't judged her, who had remained a true friend. On the other hand, Everly could muster her courage and see who'd arrived, and then decide whether to escape. Waylaying a footman and asking him to reel off the names of the guests probably wasn't a good idea, though of the choices it held the most appeal. Confound Thea, the compassionate, meddling wretch, for her tender heart and her ongoing efforts to entice Everly into society again.